Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host is Otto Loos.
Still here, John.
And, you know, as always is the case on this show, we always have tremendous guests. Thanks to Christina. She does a great job. Eric Alexander. Honestly, anybody listening to that, the amount of work he puts in, and it really is Vision Long Island. Everybody has to have a vision.
Well, it's a good thing that there are people who care about it and are concerned about how the development is going to take place.
Right.
Because otherwise we'll all just sit around and pontificate about how it ought to be done and have nothing to say about it.
And then it's going to be...
And then it'll just happen.
Right. The rude awakening one day.
Yes.
Now we're going to go to Dr. Kisco. And Dr. Kisco is board certified in family medicine and is currently in fellowship training in geriatrics at Northwell. And actually, Dr. Kisco was on the Town of North Hempstead Project Independence TV show program.
I was wondering how you
about two months ago. And that was a little bit in reference to scams against seniors and Medicare. And we're going to touch on some of that also today. But one of the more important things that we need to talk to, especially from a senior perspective, is how to talk to your doctor. Oftentimes, younger people have no problem saying, explain it to me over and over. Seniors, they walk out and you say, Ma, what did he say? They don't know.
Right.
So that's your job, telling seniors how to slow down and ask their questions.
Yeah. Well, it's so nice to be here. It's so nice to be back and working with Project Independence. I think it's such an incredible cause and such an incredible resource for seniors and my patients. So I actually did. I prepared a few kind of key points in preparation for your visit. And as I had touched on during my show, I do work at a geriatrics clinic. And
right.
So this is like a really big chunk of my job. So I think the number one key point that I want to begin with is to be organized and to be organized prior to your visit.
Okay.
So if it is your first visit, then, you know, if you're transferring your care from another medical practice, and you should probably come prepared with your medication list, any chronic health conditions that you have, any imaging, x-rays and other diagnostic tests that you've had, lab work, your immunization records, as much as you can get. One of the things that I like to stress to patients is that your medical record, it's your private property. It's something that you're entitled to ask for. And so when transferring care, it's also important to have some sort of a personal file to bring to your doctor.
Okay. Can I just interrupt you?
Of course.
More recently, I see that, I think it's called personal portal or something, or maybe every doctor has a different thing, where you can get updates if you want. I mean, I don't do that stuff, but you could sign into the computer.
You can.
Are you familiar with that? Okay.
I am. I think we touched on it a little bit back in November. There are certain medical records that actually have access. It's like a limited access for the patient actually doesn't have. There's obviously certain test results that are more sensitive that would not be present on
the
portal.
Okay, so it's not a total. Okay.
It's not a total
health
record.
That was my question.
I happen to use it.
You use it. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And one of my doctors uses mychart.com.
Yes, mychart.
And another one uses followmyhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use the same program, unfortunately, which is one of the problems that exists, I think, is that there is no standard.
Right.
Which is not good.
It's not.
But at least these are terrific, really. I go online and I get all kinds of information about past visits, appointments, whatever.
But are your diagnoses, that's the right word, on it?
Everything is on
everything.
It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As doctor pointed out, I think one of the images that my world... my parents came from Germany in the late 20s, and at a very early age, I became the spokesperson because they had a problem in the beginning speaking English and whatnot. And there was this thing that goes back to generations where people were afraid to talk to doctors because the doctor was put up on a very high pedestal, which they deserve. However, if you put it up too high, then all of a sudden you don't have any communication between you and the doctor. And, years ago, if you wanted to get a copy of your medical records or a copy of your blood test that you just had. It was like a whole big hoop-de-doo you had to go through. Mm-hmm. And now you can go online and get, and a lot of people, unfortunately, that listen to this show are not probably online.
Right.
But if you can go online, okay, you can get everything you ever wanted.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that it's all electronic is so much better because, you know, you don't have to, with paper charts, it's like a struggle to decipher handwritings and whatnot. I think it's a lot more organized now. You can just essentially get your, you know, lab results and, you know, your notes from your visits printed.
And well, like I use Quest for lab tests. And,
okay.
I'll show you what I used to do here because this is not on television, of course, but... I used to actually plot the results of some of my numbers, and I would be one of the people that would come to you and be a pain because I was probably over-organized.
Wow, I'm just amazed.
The example there is that my numbers went from...
How far back is he going?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I see it here.
Well, it's a classic case of where my numbers were pretty bad, and then they...
fantastic numbers.
Yeah. You know, I like to show the doctors that because it shows that what they did worked.
Yeah.
You know? But now, Quest,
you
can go online and put in red blood count.
Right.
And it'll give you a report for every little item on there for the last 7 years to track and show exactly where you are. Maybe you're the same as you were 7 years ago. And I wound up having conversations with my doctor about the results of these things. And anyhow, I'm taking away your...
No.
I'm a big advocate of what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's so nice to see it kind of live and see it working. One of the things that you mentioned was like this hierarchy that you know used to exist or maybe still may exist. And one of the things that I really want to advocate for is for patients to be equal with their physicians. During my visits, whether it's in the hospital, if I'm visiting patients, the hospitalist, or if I'm seeing them in the clinic, I want them to be very involved in their care and to help me make the best possible plan for them. Sometimes the plan that I may have for my patients is not the plan that they have for themselves.
Okay.
Sometimes people may not want me to be as aggressive in management. Sometimes they want me to be more aggressive in management. You know, ultimately, you should be a huge part of your medical decision making. And it's so important that patients are involved in medical visits. And coming in with your own records like this and your own lab values like this, you can do your own research and come prepared with specific questions to maximize your visit.
Okay.
Yeah, well, when I come in the door, they already shake their head, you know, because I do come in with a list of questions.
But it's Felix or – no, it's Felix, right? Oscar and Felix.
Oscar
You're Felix,
Felix,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
When it comes to this,
right? That's what I'm saying. That's it's perfect. Yeah.
But I mean, also like basic information.
Yeah.
I
Fantastic.
Learned that the hard way because I used to have to go if my father or my mother had a problem. You end up going to the hospital and you have to answer all the questions about well, what happened? Well, what happened? I don't know.
Right.
What kind of medication did they take? I don't know. And I got tired of going through that exercise, so I decided it's a good thing when you visit your own doctor to be prepared with some kind of a recap that...
Right.
It is true.
You know, tells you everything. And it doesn't take very long.
It doesn't, and it's that transition of care period that I think patients are the most vulnerable in, you know, because if you're coming in and, like, let's say you are, you know, if you're coming in for a medical visit and you have a lot of specialists on board, I can't even tell you how many times patients will, you know, have medications on their records that they either, you know, haven't been taking for a long time, but then we end up continuing them or having double of the same classes of medication is just because, you know, another doctor will start a medication, not communicate it with me.
Right.
And then I don't know, you know, so... one of the things is if you can have a list of your medications with you written out, something that we do in my clinic is if we make any changes, we always like to have a printout and to give you a nice updated printout for your records. But I also encourage my patients to just like the morning of your visit, just put all your medications into a plastic bag and just bring them in. Even if you haven't taken them for in forever, let me dispose of them. You know, you never know. I don't want you taking medications that, you know, you may no longer need or, again, might be doubling up on certain you know, classes. You know, the names may be different, but ultimately the mechanism of action is the same.
This is a true story. I'm talking to a friend of mine the other day, who's going now for therapy. He had a heart condition, had surgery, and was taking some sort of a pill. And his wife read about one of the side effects and just told him to stop taking it, which he did without telling the doctor. Well, of course, it messed him all up.
Yeah.
So now he's got to, you know, he's weeks behind where we should have been because he built up water. And it's like, what did you do that for? And it's like, again, they're seniors. And my point is, you have to listen to the doctor and bring everything to the doctor and question the doctor. Call the doctor and say, there's a side effect, excuse me, to this pill. Should he be taking it? Well, obviously, the doctor wouldn't have prescribed it.
Right.
If he thought you shouldn't, it was a short term. I don't even know what the pill was, but that's not the point. Then I'm agreeing with this whole take the bag of stuff and then listen to what they said to do. You know, it might be in, you might disagree with it, but if I'm paying you, so to speak, because you're the boss, listen to what you're saying.
Right.
And you mentioned two very important points. One is, you know, you mentioned that your friend's wife ended up giving advice. And so bringing in a loved one to your appointments or anybody, a friend or somebody, a second set of ears or a second, you know, person that may have opinions on your healthcare, or have somebody that can at least be there to either take notes or, you know, it's okay to challenge the doctor. So challenge the doctor with side effects. How many times do you walk out of your own medical visits and, you know, you come out and you have no idea what happened?
Right.
If you can't have somebody come with you, then it is important that you do take your own notes. And oftentimes a lot of the medical records now have something called the after-visit summary. I'm not sure if you have gotten one when you went to your own doctors, but it's essentially a printout of any lab work that was done during that visit or any medications that were updated or a problem list, which is essentially, you know, what we call a list of your health history.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say, like, doctors nowadays are, I don't know what the right word would be here, but a little more stressed in terms of how much time they can actually allocate to a patient?
Absolutely.
And because of that, You better get your point across.
That's so true. And so one of the things I stress is when you're coming in, just, you know, when you're preparing for your visit the night before, have maybe 3 to 4 problems that are the most important to you that you want to address at this visit. Know that, you know, this isn't your you know, first and last or your only visit for this year. If we don't get to everything, you know, today on that visit, we'll surely get to it at future visits. But having the most important things to you, because that is something that you know, you're absolutely right. You know, I remember in residency, I was seeing, you know, I had maybe 10, 15 minutes per patient. My patients were very complex, a lot of medications, a lot of problems, and there's no way I could get to everything. You're also here juggling the medical record, which is such a good resource to patients, but it's also a huge distraction to doctors. You know, one of the things that I struggle with is, how do I maintain eye contact and still, you
and
know,
type at the same
time? And it's so, you know, it's so tedious. And, you know, when it comes to our billing, which is something that patients should never, ever think about.
Right.
But it is, you know, based upon how many boxes I click in that record. And there's no way that you can remember at the end of the day everything that happened during the visit. So if you don't take some sort of notes, then, you know,
I'm just going to interrupt so we can go to a break, because I want to stay on this topic.
Yes, though, yes.
Because this is the reality of medicine today.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.